Welcome to a new episode of the Apostolic and Prophetic Podcast. Today is Sunday, the 11th of June, and we will continue with the series about money and finances, because Jesus was also talking about these things, and he said in the Gospel of Luke, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" So Jesus calls money the least things, or the smallest things. And if we are faithful with money and deal with it in the way he wants us to do, so then he can entrust us the real riches. And these are the things of the kingdom, spiritual gifts, authority, and everything what God has prepared for you. And last time we spoke about debt, and that God doesn't want us to go into debt. Of course, there are exceptions, there are situations and circumstances and things that could happen that you would need to take something, but these are very rare circumstances, and you should always pray and ask God if it's really, really necessary. And in general, God will bless you if you obey his voice, if you follow his advice, if you seek his face, he will bless you, and he will bring you into a situation that you will not have to go into debt. Okay, and something related to this, I would like to talk today about it, and it is, or the topic of today's episode is, accept when God says no. And you cannot imagine, God is more often saying no than we want him to do. we have a wish and a desire, and there's even, I think, a verse in Psalms that God will grant you the desires of your heart. So if you want something, that God is always saying yes. But the reality is, God is not always saying yes. And that's why sometimes people don't even ask him, because they are afraid, and in their spirit they actually feel that what they are doing is not the will of God. And I'm now not talking about big sins, but I am talking in general about spending. And since spending is also part of dealing with finances, God wants us to be faithful in how we spend our money. And I would like to go through a few verses and then also share one or two testimonies with you, how God was blessing me by saying no, and how I really then understood how God was protecting me by listening to him. Sorry, I have a little bit of cold, so it will go soon away, but I think you can hear this in my voice. Sorry for this. But I would like to make to stay true to my word, to make one episode every week. So Jesus said in Matthew, it's in chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, in the Lord's Prayer, that we should pray like this: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Okay, you know all this. I will not read everything, but the crucial thing is, your will shall be done, or will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is the thing. Often we want our will to be done. And this is the thing, that if we are like everyone else and spending like everyone else, then you can first not be faithful with money in the way God wants it to be, and you will also not be able to go out from debt. And we had it last time, God doesn't want us to be in debt. Because it says also in Proverbs chapter 21 verse 17, he who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. Okay, again, our goal is not to be rich, but what God definitely wants for you is that you have more than enough. And many years ago, when I really had not enough, and when every big spending, like for the car or for buying new clothes, was really kind of a nightmare for me, God was telling me this. God was giving me this promise. He said to me, you will have more than enough. And I was believing this. Even I was in a situation where I didn't have, you could say, enough, where I had to turn around almost every cent. And so the thing is, God wants us to have more than enough. But here it's basically saying, if you love wine and oil, and these are things, or these were things in those days that were expensive. Yeah, if you need to have the latest Apple Watch, or you always need to have the newest iPhone or whatever other brand you like, if you need to buy every 3 years a new car, or you need always the newest gadget, forget it. God is saying, God's word is saying, if you are like a big spender, you will not come to this point where you have more than enough. And maybe if you are listening, maybe you have a very good job and you can afford all these kind of things. But the reality is, then you are one of the rare examples. Also in the church, there are a lot of people in the church, they are really deeply indebted. And I know it. I can just speak about my experience also in Germany from people I met there. And I know that a lot of people were very much indebted. And some people really, we were not very wise in their spending. They were spending a lot, even they couldn't afford it, but they were spending on debt, or they are living from paycheck to paycheck. This is also when God is saying we should have more than enough. This means that you're not living just from paycheck to paycheck. And when some repair is coming, or some bigger thing, that you are in trouble and you don't know how you're gonna pay for the bills. Okay, so that means God wants us also to have reserves. And also the Psalms are full of scriptures about these things. And the problem is that I think one of the main problems is actually pride. Because we think, or we compare ourselves with others. I mean, I did this also very often in the past. And it's sometimes also even difficult if you see everything on Facebook, you see people on Instagram, also on other social media channels, you can compare yourself with people. And of course, they are presenting themselves in the nicest way, that everything is fine, where they went on a holiday, what they bought, what they did, and all these kind of things. But it's actually not the reality. It's just one part of their life, what they want you to see about them. And of course, they are not sharing on Facebook or on Instagram when they are in debt, or when they have problems, or when they just got a divorce or whatever. But they are sharing with you the things that everything looks fine and great, and that other people think about them. I also want to have this, or maybe even to live like this. But God doesn't want us to compare ourselves with the world. And it's also pride. I mean, if you are just buying a new car because you think then your neighbor or other people are thinking better about you, this is actually pride. And it's also in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And this is the thing. Sometimes we think that if God says no, that it's like kind of God is withholding something from us. God doesn't want to give us this or that or certain things. Or it's like people sometimes even think that, how to say, God doesn't allow me these or some things. And it's like in the first verse, yes, this living sacrifice. I mean, imagine an animal which is still alive and understands it's it will be sacrificed. Of course, it is running away from the altar. That's why the sacrifices were, or the animals were killed and before they were put on the altar. So, but here it's written, God doesn't want us to be dead. God wants a living sacrifice. And what does it mean? That in the if you are in a certain situation, did you, by your own free will, you're not forced to do it, but by your own free will, you are submitting to God's will. And like Jesus said, your will shall be done, not my will. Yeah, your will, like in heaven, so on earth. And this is the thing, why people don't ask God, or why we sometimes, don't want to ask God, because we, or actually it's because you have doubts that God really wants the best for you. Because if you read in the second verse, actually there is written what God wants for you. And this is really amazing. So, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there are, you could say, three things God wants for you: the good, the acceptable, and the perfect. So what God wants for you is not something bad. Actually, God wants the best. It's not just the best, it's perfect. And I mean, what is perfect actually? What, how to say, you can do from your own strength. God has the perfect plan for you. He wants the perfect for you. He wants the good for you. He wants the acceptable for you. Not just things where you are thinking, oh no. And but you cannot see it. You cannot understand it, and you cannot get it when your mind is not transformed, not renewed. And how you can renew your mind? It's with the Word of God, with spending time with God, with hearing from Him, with receiving from the Holy Spirit. Then your mind is renewed, that you understand the will of God and the plan of God. And if you're not doing this, then it can be God is telling you something, or you're having this impulse from the Holy Spirit and you're rejecting it because you exactly think with this unrenewed mind and thinking that God wants to take away something from you, that God doesn't want to grant you something. And I give you a practical example. Before I moved out from Germany and applied for a new job, I mean, I didn't know that I will move out from Germany. I just had the impression that not long, I mean, who knows what is not long? Sometimes it can, God told me, not you will not be long time in that place, and I stayed there 3 years, but I had this impression that not long, and we will move away from that city. And it was the corona time, and everyone, was locked in their flats, or you couldn't go anywhere. So a lot of people bought gardens, and I wanted to have a garden for a very long time. I had a garden when I was a student, and I liked it very much, gardening. And I was thinking, okay, it's nice for the children. They can also play. They can also see how things are growing. They can plant something. We can have a nice barbecue. We can have active time there, and also kind of a work-life balance. If you are sitting all the time during the week in front of a computer, and you want to be active at the weekend or to be in the nature and so on. So behind our house, there was a big garden colony with a lot of empty gardens. And I was walking through it, and I was praying and asking God. I said, oh, Lord, I would like to have a garden. And always I heard in my spirit that God was saying no. And I didn't want to accept it. And maybe you also had sometimes situations like this. Then you're asking again. You're saying, please, Lord, I would like to have a garden. Please, why cannot have a garden? And I'm hearing again, no. I don't know how many times I was praying. I think at least 3, 4, 5 times. And God always said no. And when I went out from this garden colony one time, again, I was asking for having a garden, and again, God said no. I met a man, and I was praying, actually, why, God? Why, Lord? And can I not have a garden? Because even some of them you could get for €1, because, they were very, very cheap, because some of them were for many, many years empty. And of course, it means a lot of work and to invest money and time to make this garden again in a way that you would really enjoy it. And I met a man who just got a new garden, and we started to talk, and he was not a believer. But when we were talking about gardening, he said, you know, until the garden is really in the way that you like it, that you feel at home there, kind of something like this, he said, you need about 3 years. And in that moment, I knew God is speaking to me through that man. That exactly it would take a long time till I have the garden in the way that it's nice. And then I knew and understood that God, he will bring us out from this city. This I felt already. And then I would have, a garden, which is a burden. I have to sell it then. I also then maybe invested a lot of money and time, and I cannot really enjoy the fruits of it because we will move away. And it was really true about not even 1 year later, I don't remember exactly, but less than 1 year later, we moved away from Germany. And it was actually God's wisdom. God knew it. And I'm so happy that I accepted his no. Another example, it was also in that time. If I don't have a garden, I was thinking, or at least let's have a nice balcony. And we had two long balconies. They were like kind of together. So I wanted to make the floor of the balcony with wood panels, and on the sides that everything looks nice with some balcony furniture, and to invest, let's say, €500-600, and that it would look nice. And there were even some balcony furnitures on sale in one of the supermarkets, and I was thinking, oh, this is a great opportunity. And then God again said no. And I was thinking, it can't be. I cannot even have a garden, and now I cannot even do something on the balcony. What is going on? And when I was asking, God clearly said, no, don't do it. And I think it was 1 week later, there was an announcement at the entrance of the house that we have to empty all our balconies completely from all things because they are renewing the facade of the building. And I was thinking, unbelievable. I mean, God knew this, that it is going to happen and that I would invest money and time and resources then in something what I cannot use then, because it took also a few months to make the facade and everything. And all the people who had their nice balconies with all their wooden panels, they had to remove everything. So these two testimonies are showing that God knows everything. He knows the future. And it's exactly like it is in Romans. He wants us to renew our mind that we understand His good, acceptable, and perfect will for us, and even in small things. So ask God before you want to purchase something, before you want to spend big money. Ask Him, is this really your will? God, you can also pray, God, give me wisdom. Show me how to spend my money wisely. And God will. And God will show you. And you will be amazed how God is leading you and how God knows even every detail. Okay. I wish you that a nice week, that you would hear God's voice also in these detailed things about your daily decision making, and be blessed, and hear you next time. Shalom. Amen.